Okay. So I want to share tonight an idea, a perspective on what maybe is the goal, can be the goal of Pesach night, of the Seder. A deeper understanding of what we're trying to accomplish when we are being saying Sipur Yetzias Mitzrayim, telling over the story of Yetzias Mitzrayim, the Exodus from Egypt. Most of what I'm going to say is based on a piece from Rav Matisyahu Solomon, the Mashkiach of the Lakewood Yeshiva, with a few other things added in here and there. The Rambam in Sefer HaMitzvot, which is his collection where he lists off what he believes are the 613 mitzvot, so he defines each one with a brief definition. And for the mitzvah, the arise of the biblical commandment of Sipur Yetzias Mitzrayim, the Rambam says, the mitzvah is to tell the story of Yetzias Mitzrayim. The kol mi sheyosef v'maimer, the yarech bedvarim, and the more a person speaks about it and speaks at length about it, the hagadas masha asalanu Hashem, and telling over what Hashem did for us, umasha asuganu hamitzrim, all the chamas, and that which the mitzrim did to us, the yoke they put on us, the violence against us. And how Hashem avenged us, took revenge against them on our behalf. And to give thanks, I'll call Tov Shegmalana for all the good that he did. So this is all one clause. The more all that a person adds in telling over the story and giving thanks, Yiya Yoser Tov, he'll be better. He'll be better off. Kemosham Amru, as they say, as the sages say, the Cholamarech Lesaper B'Yetzias Mitzrayim, Harei Zeh Meshubach. The more a person is Marech, the more a person speaks about Yetzias Mitzrayim, Harei Zeh Meshubach, which we traditionally understand to mean, you know, the more the better. The more is more praiseworthy. That's typically how we understand Harei Zeh Meshubach. Now, a couple of things that stand out here. The first is that the Rambam says, the more a person speaks about it, Yia Yoser Tov, he'll be better. Sounds like it's, you know, he himself will be improved. In fact, if El Yogo Pian understands that phrase, Harei Zeh Meshubach, that the more a person speaks about it, Harei Zeh Meshubach, he says, doesn't mean the more you speak about it, the better, or that's praiseworthy. It means Harei Zeh Meshubach, this person will be Meshubach, will be better, will be improved. Like Yayin Meshubach, he says, means like the better wine. So the person himself will be Meshubach, will be improved, will be better. And that's really almost explicit in the Rambam. The Rambam says, Yiya Yoser Tov, he'll be better if he speaks more about it. So we'll have to try to understand what maybe he's referring to. How will you be better? How will you become a better person by telling over the story at greater length? And the second thing we should address is that the Rambam is defining the mitzvah here. When the Sefer HaMitzvot, he's telling you what the mitzvahs are, and then he's giving you a quick definition. And he's choosing very carefully how he defines each mitzvah. And in defining this mitzvah, he includes not only the telling of the story, but also the hodoslo, to give thanks. As if the giving thanks, which we mainly do in the Seder through Hallel, when we say Hallel, the giving thanks is seemingly a central part of the mitzvah of Sipur Yetzias Mitzrayim, of telling over the story. So we have to understand, why is that intrinsic to the mitzvah to give thanks as well? Normally we understand the mitzvah just to be to tell the story. Obviously we want to give thanks, but that's not intrinsic to the mitzvah of telling the story. However, we see from the Rambam that he seems to hold that it is intrinsic, and that needs further explanation. The truth is that this idea has a smach, it has a source of some sort in Targum Yonasan, because on the pasuk in Kisavo, Higati Hayom Hashem Elokecha, which talks about when a person brings bikurim and he gives thanks to Hashem. So on the word Higadati, the Targum Yonasan, which is the translation, translates that to mean Odina Yom Adin, I give thanks on this day. Higadati, he translates as I give thanks. So we have a source, a makar, that the word of Haggadah can refer to giving thanks, and such that we call the Passover Haggadah the Haggadah, but that comes from the pasuk from which we have this mitzvah to tell the story. And you should tell your child on that day. That's where we have the mitzvah from. And so we see, though, from this pasuk in Parshas Kisavo and Targum Yonas on there, that Haggadah itself can refer to giving thanks. We have to understand, though, how is that intrinsic to the idea of Haggadah, the idea of Sipur Yetzias Mitzrayim, that the Rambam includes it in the very definition of this mitzvah. The Chovos HaLevavos, in the beginning of Shar HaAvodah, the section on service of Hashem, the Chovos HaLevavos is a Rishon, it's one of the earliest Musar Svarim that is used today. And in defining what is Avodah, where does a person find within himself the Avodah, service of Hashem? How does a person achieve that? So he says, we've already spoken about, he says, in the Sefer, I've already told you about Yichud Hashem, about understanding the oneness of Hashem, and I've already told you about the obligation that a person has to understand all the good things that Hashem does, and now you have all that you need to now go forward and serve Hashem. Because based on a person's understanding of that which Hashem does for him, based on a person's appreciation for all that Hashem does for him, the totza'ah, the result, is going to be avodas Hashem, service of Hashem. The more, he says, kishayisparer etzlo, when all this is clear to you, how great Hashem is, and all that He does for you, and especially when you compare ourselves to Hashem, Hashem so great, us so tiny, and yet Hashem still does so much for us, so that should, as he describes it, once that's clear to us, it's kibul avodas Elokim, there should be an acceptance of service of Hashem, kefi asher yichaveyu haseichel, as much as logic obligates a person, lemeitiv al mi sheheitiv lo, to do good back to someone who did good to you. Somebody does you a favor, so then you should feel indebted to them. And the more you appreciate what other people do for you, then the more indebted you will feel to them. Now take that now to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. If we recognize, you know, Hashem's greatness, and yet all that He does for us, so then, you know, how much should we feel indebted to give back to Him, to which will come through in service of Hashem, in avodas Hashem. To take a step further, later he says, and specifically the Jewish people, that. Amin ha'amim, the umam min ha'umos, this one specific nation that Hashem has, heitivu b'nei Yisrael, b'otziyom eretz Mitzrayim, Hashem did extra good for us. He took us out of Egypt, ve'viyam al eretz Kanaan, He brought us to the land of Kanaan, gave us eretz Yisrael, v'chayvam b'zeh avodah Yisrael, this will obligate them to an even greater level of avodah. So if we recognize all that Hashem does for everyone, but specifically what He does, what He's done, what He continues to do even more for B'nai Yisrael, so then that should be mechayev, that should obligate us even more so in avodas Hashem, in serving Hashem. Now, what we see from here, Chovos HaLevavos is telling us, is it's very good to understand Yichud Hashem, the oneness of Hashem, to develop your emunah, to develop your belief in Hashem. That's very, very important, it's very good. But it doesn't stop there. If you don't then appreciate what, you know, okay, you believe in God, great, but now what? Right? You have to appreciate what He does for you. Once you appreciate that, then seichel, just the logic will coerce you, will cause you to want to serve Him, to want to give back. And so as much as we work on emunah, it's very good, but we have to take it to the next level by appreciating what Hashem does for us, and then the output will be a greater level of avodas Hashem. Now, what was the goal of Mitzrayim, of the Jewish people being in Mitzrayim, and what are we trying to replicate at the Seder? So
we became a nation.
What's that?
We became a nation.
Right. So what happened there? So if you, the Brisker Rav brought in the Haggadah Mibeis Levi, collection of Brisker thoughts in a Haggadah. So he says that we have this concept. The Mishnah tells us that in the Haggadah, the way that you do the mitzvah of Kippurit Yetzias Mitzrayim is your maschil b'genus u'mesayim b'shvach. You first start with the genus, the bad part, and then your mesayim b'shvach, you end with the good stuff, which is really how you appreciate, you know, any happy ending. You have to first understand what was bad, where were we coming from. But the Gemara has a machlokes, that's a Mishnah, the Gemara has a machlokes, has a dispute, what is the genus that you start with? Where do you start from? One opinion says you start from Avadim Hayinu, we were slaves in Egypt, and the other opinion says you start from Mitzchiva Ovdei Avodah Zarah Hayu Avoseinu. At the beginning, our forefathers were idol worshippers, referring even earlier to the generations leading up to Avram Avinu. Now, whatever that machlokas is, they're having some sort of dispute. One explanation that really works for me is one opinion is saying you start with where the physical enslavement began, which is the Avadim Hayinu, we were slaves, and one is where you discuss where the spiritual enslavement originated, which is you talk about Avodah Zarah. But putting that aside for a second, whatever...
They weren't forefathers.
Right, okay, there's more to say about on that topic. But really I wanted to get to the... That's the machlokas about what's the maschil b'gnus, what's the bad part that you start with. Now, what about the mesayim b'shvach? What's the good part? Right? How are you mesayim b'shvach? How do you end with, you know, what was good? So there's no machlokas about that. There's no dispute. The Brisker Rav says, everybody agrees, it's, as we say, mitzchiyo avdei avodah zarah hayo avoseinu, in the beginning, our forefathers were idol worshippers, and then we say, the achshav kervanu hamakom l'avodaso. And now Hashem has brought us into His service. That is the shvach. That's the end of the... That's the happy ending. And now Hashem has brought us into His service. Originally we served idols, or originally we served Pyro, whichever way you want to go with. Everybody agrees. The happy ending is, and now, achshav kervanu hamakom l'avodaso, now Hashem has brought us into His service. Truth is, we see this numerous times in the Torah, where the Psukim seem to describe this concept that the ending, which really we can understand to be the purpose of Mitzrayim, is to come out to now be avodim of Hashem, to be servants to Hashem. So, for example, Pasuk says, when it's talking about a Jew can't be a slave, it says ki avodaihem. Hashem says in the Torah, because they are my slaves. That I took them out of Mitzrayim. So they can't be sold as slaves. A Jew can't be enslaved once the Torah is given. Also says, Kivi b'nei Yisrael avadim. Hashem says, because b'nei Yisrael are avadim to me, they're servants to me. Avadaihem, they're my servants. Asher tzeisi osam eretz Mitzrayim. That I took them out of Mitzrayim. Ani Hashem elokeichem. At the time of Yetzias Mitzrayim, at the time of the Exodus, we gained this, really it's a great level to be on. To be Hashem's servant is that itself is very chashuv. It's a maila, it's a high level to be on, but that's what we achieved at the time of Yetzias Mitzrayim. We came into the service of Hashem, we became Hashem's servant. We also say, in Shema, we say, Ani Hashem Elokeichem, Asher Tzeisi Yosam Yeretz Mitzrayim, I am Hashem, your God who took you out of Mitzrayim, Uyos Lachem Leilukim, to be a God to you, as in I'm to rule over you, that's why I took you out. So we see this concept that Yetzias Mitzrayim, the purpose was for us to become the servants of Hashem. Another example of this, is there are two mitzvot that we kind of mix together. We do them together every day. We do one in the, we do it twice in the morning, and, well, in the morning and in the evening. One of them is Shema. We say Shema every morning and every evening, because it says in Shema, b'shach b'chov kumecha, that you should say it when you wake up and when you go to sleep, or when you go to sleep and when you wake up. So that's twice a day. And there's another mitzvah, which we also do twice a day, which we do at the end of Shema, and that is to mention Yetzias Mitzrayim, to mention the Exodus. It's a mitzvah to do that twice a day. We actually talk about that in the Haggadah. Pasuk says, "Leman tizkaras yom seischa mi'aretz Mitzrayim," in order that you remember the day on which you left Mitzrayim, kol yemei chayecha, all the days of your life. And the Haggadah says, "Yemei chayecha hayamim." The words "yemei chayecha," the days of your life, refers to the days. You have to remember Yetzias Mitzrayim during the days. And kol yemei chayecha, it says all the days. That's how halelos. That's to include the nights. That's what we read in the Haggadah. Everybody wants to know, what does that have to do with the Haggadah? That's the mitzvah from every day. So you're looking at your Haggadahs for the answer to that question. But that's the source for this mitzvah. So we have two mitzvahs. We have the mitzvah of Shema, twice a day, and we have the mitzvah of Zechiras Yetzias Mitzrayim, mentioning Yetzias Mitzrayim twice a day. But we do them together, because we, at the end of Shema, we say at the very end, we say Psukim about Ani Hashem Elokecha Asher Hoteiti, this pasuk, I'm Hashem who took you out of Mitzrayim, right? That's how we fulfill that mitzvah. Now, but what do they have to do with each other? Are they related in some way, or is it just coincidental that we can accomplish them at the same time? So the Brisker Rav says they fit perfectly together, because Shema is Kabbalas Ol Malchus Shemaim. It's the acceptance of the yoke of heaven. So you're really accepting Hashem as your master. You're accepting that you're Hashem's servant. And that was the purpose, as we've been saying, of Yetzias Mitzrayim, was to go from being slaves of Paro, but to becoming slaves of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, servants of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And so accepting the yoke of heaven should be coupled with mentioning Yetzias Mitzrayim. It fits together beautifully. Now, it would make sense that that should be the goal of the Seder as well. That the goal from the Seder should be that we're reliving that. We're reliving this moment in a way of where we went from being the servants of Paro, and then we accepted on ourselves the service of Hashem. There's a famous idea that Rashi brings at the beginning of Parsha Era, where by the first two makos, the first two plagues, we know that Aaron, first three actually, Aaron started the first three plagues. Moshe initiated the last seven, but Aaron initiated the first three. Why? So Rashi tells us, because to initiate the first two, Dam and Fardeya, the blood and the frog, so in order to unleash that plague, you had to hit the water. Says Rashi, quoting the Medrash, Moshe Rabbeinu didn't want to hit the water because the water had protected him when he was a baby and was placed in the Nile River. So he didn't want to hit the Nile. And then the third makah, Kinim, the light, involved hitting the sand, and the sand had protected him after he killed the Mitzri, the Egyptian man, and buried him in the sand. The sand protected him. He had Hakara Satov to both the sand and the water, and that's why he didn't want to hit them. And that's why Hashem didn't command Moshe to do it. Hashem commanded Aaron to bring about the first three plagues. Now, one can ask, couldn't Hashem think of a different way to initiate the plague? Was it necessary? Was that the only way that Hashem could do it? The only way was to hit the water or hit the sand? And since, you know, that was an option for Moshe, because he didn't want to be a kafoi tov, he didn't want to deny the good that the sand had done for him, the water had done for him, so okay, Moshe can't do it. Why didn't Hashem just you know, come up with a different way to initiate the makkah? And then Moshe could do it. We see Moshe was the ideal person to bring the makkah. That's why he brought the last seven. He was the leader. So why is it that it had to be in that fashion that the makkah had to be brought about? So Ramat Yisroel suggests that the idea is that no, Hashem wanted to teach the Midah, the attribute of Hakaras HaTov, in this moment. Because as we mentioned, Emunah is very important, obviously. But without Hakaras HaTov with it, then it won't really, without the recognition of the good, the appreciation that others do for you, that Hashem does for you. You can have Emunah, you can believe in Hashem, but you have to appreciate what Hashem does in order for it to really translate into proper Avodah. The Makos are, you know, a main tenet. They're a pillar of our belief in Hashem. The Rishonim speak at length, the different Makos taught us about Hashem's, you know, Hashem distinguishes, Hashem's involved, Hashem sees what's going on. The Makos are a core, a central part to our Emunah, to our belief in Hashem. But Hashem's telling us, at that moment, when I'm sending the first three Makos and I'm teaching you Emunah, I'm going to teach you Hakaras HaTov at the same time as well. I'm going to command Aaron to do it, not Moshe, to teach you about Hakaras HaTov. Because I need to show you that while I want to teach you Emunah, I have to teach you Hakaras HaTov at the same time. Because to translate that, to transform that Emunah into proper Avodah, proper service of Hashem, you have to recognize all the good Hashem does, and then the Seichel logic will then obligate you, coerce you, on its own, to give back and to serve Hashem in the proper fashion. That's the logic dictates that. I want to mention here that this can backfire on a person. While it's true that logic dictates that, logic, you know, tells us if somebody has done good for us that we should give back, Revolvi points out that actually can be, and we have to recognize that, and it's very important, but we have to be careful not to let that cause us not to appreciate. In other words, Revolvi says there are two reasons why a person is a kafui tov. A person denies the good that another person does for them. A person ignores it, denies it. Two reasons. The first one is, the person says, Magiali, I deserve it. He didn't do me a favor, I deserved it, right? I don't owe him anything, right? Especially if we're accustomed to getting certain things. A child might do this with his parents, especially. Parents brought up the child, always did good for them. So they think that, you know, I'm your child. What are you? Well, of course you're going to do good for me, right? You have to. You brought me into this world. So he might turn into a kafui tov, a denier of the good, an ignorer of the good. And that comes from the feeling of magiali, I deserve it. You're not doing me any favors. The second way that a person turns into a kafui tov, a denier of an unappreciative person, is this very idea that because if we appreciate what someone else does for us, then we will feel a sense of obligation to give back to us, give back to them.
We don't want to feel obligated.
So our mind will come, our Yetzer Hara will come up with all sorts of terutzim, of answers, excuses, why, oh, he didn't really do me a favor, he did it for himself, right? All sorts of excuses why I don't owe you anything, because I don't want to have to owe you anything. That's what Revolvi says is the second way a person turns into a kafui tov, and it really comes from this idea that seichel, the logic should obligate you to want to give back to the person who does you a favor. I saw in a sefer on Navi, I mentioned this in my Navi shir, that some people can even take it a step further, and not only will they ignore the good that someone does for it because they don't want to owe anything, but they'll actually, like, lash back and treat the other person. The person that's supposed to be showing appreciation, they'll feel an obligation to them, and they'll feel
resentful
because of it, and they'll treat the person badly as a result. So instead of appreciation, you'll have aggression and animosity come up. The Chassam Sofer once was in a situation like this where there was a fellow just yelling at him and cursing at him, and he sat there and listened, and he had a very thoughtful, he was deep in thought, sort of ignoring it, but deep in thought. And all of a sudden, you know, he smiled, a tremendous smile. And the When Talmidim asked him what was going through his head, why, what was he thinking, and why did he smile? He said, I was trying to remember what favor I did for this guy, and when I remembered, then it made me smile. So, but he understood that if a person was lashing out at him like that, he must owe him something, and that's why he's turning that into resentfulness and aggression and animosity. I think we see some examples of this. What?
He had yelling at
him. Okay.
He didn't respond.
I don't think we say that he was doing him a favor.
It's a big thing.
So, that's sort of related to what I'm about to say, which is that I think perhaps this could be the explanation of a famous medrash that says that when Hashem created the sun and the moon, so the moon said to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Ein shnei malachim mishtamshim b'keser echad. Originally, Hashem created the sun and the moon of equal size, and the moon said, two kings can't wear the same crown, there can only be one of us up here, and it should be me, I guess. You know. So, what happened? So Hashem said, that's it, you're getting shrunk down, you're going to be smaller. You look in the Pesukim, in the Parashat Bereishis, so at first it describes two ma'oros gedolim, two great luminaries, and then it only refers to the big one and the small one. Medrash says that's what happened. At first they were both of equal size, they were both great, and then the moon got shrunk down. So the obvious question is, what's the moon thinking? The moon gets its light from the sun. So how can it be saying, I should be the only one around, get rid of the sun? It gets its light from the sun. So I thought maybe this is the pshat. This is the explanation. That's its hagufa. That itself is why it felt resentfulness towards the sun. It was because the sun was providing the light for it. And so instead of appreciating that, it answered with resentfulness and aggression. Another example of this is in the next parsha, Parshas Noah, by the Dor HaShlaga, the generation that built the Tower of Babel. So the pasuk describes what goes on there. It says, Vayered Hashem liros es ha'ir, and Hashem went down to see the city, Vesamigdol asher banu b'nei ha'adam, and the tower that the b'nei ha'adam had made, that the people had made. But it refers to them as the b'nei ha'adam, the sons of man. So Rashi quotes the Medrash, b'nei ha'adam, the sons of man, Ela b'nei mi, and instead of sons of who, of what? Shema b'nei chamorim u'gmalim? I think maybe it's the children of donkeys and camels. Why does that pasuk have to say they were b'nei ha'adam? They were sons of man. Ela b'nei Adam harishon. It was telling you they were the descendants of Adam harishon. They had the midos, the attributes of Adam harishon. Shekafa es hatova, because Adam harishon was a kafli tov. He denied the good that Hashem did for him. The Amar, he said, Isha asher nasati imadi. He said, oh, it was a woman that you gave me. She caused me to sing. Instead of appreciating the great gift of Chava, of a wife, of a partner, instead he blamed it on her. He said, oh, Hashem, you gave me this woman. That's how he got out of it. That's how he tried to excuse himself. So to hear, says Rashi, Af elu kafu betova, so too the people who built the Tower of Babel, they also were fuyetov, they were deniers of good. Limrod denishe shtiem tova, to rebel against he who had done good to them, umaltam in a mabel, and saved them from the mabel. These were the descendants of Noah, they were the remainders of the people who were left in the world after the mabel, and instead of having hakaras hatov to Hashem, they responded with was denying the good, but not just that. They, according to Mangari Shonen, they were somehow trying to fight Hashem when they built this tower. So they turned, instead of appreciation, they turned it into resentfulness and into animosity, and that's something that we always, it's very important to be aware of. What we have to do, Chovas HaLevavos is saying, is appreciate the good things people do for us and turn that into avoda, be made to back, to give good back to them. So one more point about that is that the Volbi quotes from, he quotes from Rabbi Yerucham Levavitz, that based on this idea that a person can sometimes, you know, feel the need to, or a person should feel the need to give back something. So if you want to do the ultimate chesed, a true chesed shel emes, a true, true chesed for someone, a true, true kindness. So we have already by Yosef, Yosef says, do for me a chesed shel emes. Al tisa imadi chesed shel emes, al nasik bereini b'mitzrayim, don't bury me in Egypt, do a chesed shel emes, a true chesed for me. Rashi there says, what's a chesed shel emes? Chesed sha'osim imamesim. A chesed that you do for someone who's dead, that's a chesed shel emes. Because he's not going to pay you back for it. So Yosef was telling them, don't bury in Mitzrayim, don't bury me in Egypt, do a chesed shel emes, a true chesed to me, and you know, take my body out with you when you leave Egypt. But a chesed shel emes is a chesed that you do without any hope for being paid back. So if you want to do a chesed shel emes, a true chesed, so what you, or the closest thing that you could, because if you do a chesed to someone, then they're going to feel an obligation to give back, and by definition, you're indebting them, and even if you don't accept anything, then you're still causing them to feel that debt to them. It's lacking in it 100% chesed. The best thing to do is actually let them give you something back. Let them give you something small, a small token of their appreciation, and in that way they will know, they'll feel like they gave back. They paid back for the chesed that you did for them. If you want to do a true kindness, he says, ask for something small in return from the person, and then they won't feel this debt of gratitude. They'll feel like, you know, they gave back in a way. So now let's come back to the Haggadah. So again, we've set the stage that the purpose of Yetzias Mitzrayim and that which we're trying to relive when we recite the story is to leave Mitzrayim and to become Avadim, to become slaves, servants of Hashem in the process. And that's what we're going to have to work on at the Seder and telling over the story, is appreciate this idea, that appreciate all that Hashem did for us, and then translate that into Avoda. So when we come to the Seder, so the Seder is arranged in that way. We have Sipur Yetzias Mitzrayim, we tell over the story, and then we shift into Hallel. Now the truth is, in between those two things, we have Dayenu. And Dayenu is a summary of a whole list of all the amazing things that Hashem did for us. Had you done this and not this, it would have sufficed. Had you done this and not this, it would have sufficed. And surely every year, we all ask the same questions when we get to Dayenu, and we read something like, take a quick look here.
Hashem didn't give us the Torah or something like that.
Yeah, so let's even go further back.
Oh, okay.
Let's say, had Hashem given us their money and not split the sea for us, we would have been dead, right? At the sea, right? But no, we say, Dayenu, that would have been enough. We say, Ibu shika tzareinu b'socho, had he not drowned our oppressors in the sea, and not provided for us for 40 years in the desert. Dayenu, that would have been enough. Well, if Hashem hadn't provided for us, then we probably would have been dead. And, of course, the most famous of the questions is, like you said, had you brought us to Har Sinai, and you not given the Torah, Dayenu, it would have been enough. Not giving us the Torah? Can we imagine? Can we imagine not giving the Torah? Like, what are we without the Torah? How could we say such a thing? So there's the famous answers, but the Malbim Haggadah gives a very simple, beautiful answer. Malbim Haggadah says, Dayenu doesn't mean it would have been enough, like, and, you know, that would have been fine. What it means is, each of these things on their own would have been enough to have to give you tremendous thanks. each of these, every single thing on this list stands alone as something that we should have a tremendous debt of gratitude for. And all together, put it all together, Kama Milos Tovos Lamoka Moleno, how many great Milos, how many great, he has his own approach to that word. He says, okay, I don't have it here, but okay. The word Milos, it means from the word praises, like le'ale, ulekale, right? Le'ale, to raise up, to give praise. So, Kama Milos, how many individual praiseworthy events did Hashem do for us, put them all together, and you have one great, you know, tremendous appreciation. And that's the lead into Hallel. There's one other paragraph before that, which he has a different explanation for what it's doing there. But that's basically the transition from telling the story, and now we're ready to give thanks. And it's going to be based on our Hallel, based on the passion, based on what we invest in that Hallel, the appreciation that we show, appreciation that we feel from now telling over the story, that's going to define whether we've accomplished our goal for the Seder night. If we've told over the story, learned to appreciate all of these things, the great things Hashem did for us, the tremendous miracle of Yetzias Mitzrayim. It's also a work of Emunah. We're working on our Emunah, our deep belief in Hashem. That's essential to the Seder. But then we have to appreciate, and then based on the level of appreciation, the passion that goes into that, that's going to define how well we've accomplished our goal. If we appreciate a little bit, it will translate into a little bit of service of Hashem afterwards. A little bit of avoda will have improved a little bit. If we really understand and really internalize all that Hashem did for us and really appreciate it, and we have a passionate Hallel, so then, a passionate thanks to Hashem, so then that will translate into an even a greater level of avoda. And that's what the Rambam is telling us in Sefer HaMitzvot. That's why the Rambam says in defining what is the mitzvah of the night, it's not just to tell over the story, it's sipur, and included in the definition, the Rambam says, ulehodoslo, and to give thanks. Because to accomplish the goal, you have to be able to give the thanks as well. To accomplish the goal of becoming true avodim, true servants of Hashem, you have to appreciate, you have to give hodah, you have to give thanks to Hashem. And that's also going to help us understand what the Rambam then says. And the more that you do that, the more you speak about it, and the more you give thanks, yiyeh yoter tov, he'll be a better person, he'll be an improved person, you will now be a better Eved Hashem. And as he quotes the famous line from the Haggadah, Moshe Amaru, as the Chazal say, Klamarech Osaper, and our Haggadah says Klamar Belisaper, the Rambam said Klamarech Osaper, the more one is speaks at length to tell over the story of Yetzias Mitzrayim, Harei Zeh Meshubach, and as we said before, of Elia Lopian's approach, it doesn't just mean it's more praiseworthy, Harei Zeh Meshubach, this person will be Meshubach, the person who does this will be Yoser Tov, will come out a better person, that will be a true accomplishment of the goal of the Seder.